with Green Farm, a nourishing addition to any sandwich, salad, stir fry, or snack. Natural protein your way.
Good on you, Jenny Green, for dragging us over the hump of the week. It's Wednesday, the 27th of January.
Coming up on Game On tonight, we ask Lisa Fallon what Thomas Tuchel needs to do to survive at Stamford Bridge, and will Man United retake top spot in the English Premier League?
Can they create one last chance to win it? Rashford swings it, and Cavani! It's a classic Manchester United comeback. Cavani has turned the game completely on its head, and the away day Kings have produced a remarkable comeback here.
We speak to Dublin and Melbourne star Lauren McGee, who isn't enjoying Australia at all.
Sure, Lauren.
I'm not going to lie, it's great. I kind of feel a bit guilty over here amongst your kind of friends and family back home.
The Republic of Ireland has produced some great footballers over the years. We ask underage boss Jim Crawford about the future.
Ida, good pace from Adam Ida, driving into the box, across towards O'Connor, it's the equaliser! Now there's Eddie, again doing ever so well down that right wing. Dangerous ball into Ida, it's 2-1, Adam Ida makes it 2-1 to Ireland. A lovely ball over the top, and Parrott is onto this. Troy Parrott, chance to make a three, and it's there, Troy Parrott! Ball across to Elvis Eddie, and there is number four.
Game on 2FM.
You can text us on 51552 or tweet at Game On 2FM. Marie, it's quite refreshing to hear Irish players scoring goals, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that chat, actually, because his potential squad that he will name tomorrow ahead of the Euro qualifiers does look very, very exciting. Some young talent there that we will get stuck into with him and be interesting to hear his views on how they are getting on. Today, Dunica, is a Six Nations launch. As a player, former player, what did that mean for you?
It meant the coach and the captain went off, so it was like having the sub teacher in for the day. It was great, Marie. It really was. It was days late. Kiss was in charge, or Niall O'Donovan. Training wasn't probably at the intensity it needed to be. A little bit of giddiness around the place, but you nearly felt for the captain and the... Well, it was all over Zoom today, was it?
Yeah, and I'd say they're actually probably happy enough, Jonathan Sexton and Andy Farrell, because a lot of the Zoom didn't work, so they were on constant mute and nobody could hear them, so I think they kind of abandoned halfway through, otherwise we'd have loads of audio from it, but I think it was there was a few technical difficulties, but I think Jonathan Sexton did end up talking, and he has said that he hopes to face Wales in the Six Nations opener, just to give him fitness and all the rest.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about his injury. He's saying it's his hamstring and type of fella he is, he can kind of come back from stuff like that. Of course, I'd say he is so body aware at this point, and he kind of knows, okay, I'm tightening up here, I need to get off the pitch. And maybe that was the case on Saturday in the Munster match, but with Ross Byrne, you've a quality there, a guy there that can see out a game, which is an important skill to have, Marie. So yeah, hopefully Johnny will be good. There was news today and great news from Ulster. Obviously, we're all concerned about players signing contracts, so Ireland's Rob Herring and Ian Madigan have signed on for 2 years. Rob Herring is nearing in on 200 appearances, which is incredible, and Dan McFarlane has praised Ian Madigan for the amount of work he does around the squad. Really important to have, Marie, squad players, guys that look at opposition, and you know the, obviously he's competing for a place, and sometimes you can get a little bit blinded by being so selfish and worrying about yourself, but very few people spend a bit of time and say, okay, this is what we're going to come up against when we play Munster, when we play Glasgow, play Edinburgh. So Madigan seems like he has fitted in really well. But the big one is Nicaragua, Fijian, incredible player from Glasgow, played with Racing Metro. He's 6'6", he's 32, I'd say he's about 120 kgs, and he is a compulsive offloader. I've played against him, it is an absolute nightmare. He basically has a ball to himself when he plays on the pitch. And to be fair, this is a brilliant signing for Ulster. Not only for Ulster, I'm actually delighted he's back in the league. He was a nightmare to play against, just constantly had the ability to keep the ball alive in contact. And we used to say stuff like, you have to hit the ball first, don't even worry about tackling him, make sure you stop the ball. Didn't matter, always able to offload it. So at 6'6", about 120 kgs, being able to play sevens, I think it's brilliant. But if Ulster are going to sign a player like that, you got to use him. Like, there's no point having a player like that and sitting him into a kind of set piece battle. So I think it's good as well for young Ulster players just to see the calibre of offloading and that skill. He signed for 1 year, obviously. Coetzee leaving is a massive loss, but I think when you sign someone of this quality and calibre, it's good to have.
It does sound very exciting. Huge amount of positive reaction to that as well on social media. And another bit of positive news today as well, but I think you can interpret it that way as well, is that the International Olympic Committee have said that they are fully concentrated and committed to the successful organisation of the Tokyo Summer Olympics this year, despite the pandemic that we're always talking about. So Thomas Bach had a press conference today, and this is what he had to say about it.
We are not speculating of whether the games are taking place. We are working on how the games will take place. That means we have to put COVID countermeasures together for every possible scenario. And in this, we are relying on the advice of all the different authorities, the Japanese government, the health authorities, the World Health Organization. We are talking with the manufacturers of vaccines, with all the experts. And also from these consultations, you know, we can conclude that it is too early to tell which of the many COVID countermeasures will finally be the appropriate one when it comes to the time of the games.
Thomas Bach speaking there earlier on today. Look, he does sound like he has a plan. They are going to let everybody know as well the contingencies that they have, depending on what happens with COVID over the next few months. But I'm sure that'll be, it'll help the athletes refocus, I'd imagine, as well, just knowing that potentially, you know, there are people out there who are putting plans in place to try and make it happen.
Best of luck if you're making a plan at the moment. And to be fair, I know they have to, they're in their meeting tonight and they have to come up with something. And of course, we need some light at the end of all this tunnel. But it, like, even looking at Padraig Harrington today speaking about, you know, the Ryder Cup going ahead and how much of a party it would be if any sporting event went on at the moment. It would be like Electric Picnic, wouldn't it? Like, you would go to anything at the moment just to be out and about. So, yeah,
that's
look,
for sure.
There is hopefully good news of stuff like that coming around the corner.
Yeah, well, there is action tonight, and we do like a bit of Premier League action, so there's plenty of it. But I guess the big one really is Chelsea and Wolves, with the new Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel in the Stamford Bridge dugout. Let's cross over now to Ian Beach, who is there for us with the team news and the updates. Ian.
Yeah, good evening. What are we, 10 minutes in? It's Chelsea 0, Wolves 0. And Thomas Tuchel, I've been watching him for the first 10 minutes. It's lots of encouraging noises and applause and pointing out exactly what he wants his team to do. They are totally in control of possession of the ball. I don't think Edouard Mendy in the Chelsea goal has seen it so far. We've had four changes from the last team that played in the Premier League for Chelsea. That was against Leicester. The big news really there that the youngsters Mason Mount and Reece James have been left on the bench. And they've gone with Thiago Silva and Antonio Rudiger as the central defensive pair. But that was the central defensive pair that Frank Lampard picked in his last Premier League game. Kai Havertz starts. Lots of speculation that the fact that Thomas Tuchel is German might help the German players who came in the summer. Havertz and Timo Werner. Havertz starts. Werner is a substitute today. And Wolves, who've mostly been defending, and that's how they like to play these big games away at teams like Chelsea. They the big team news for them is that their new signing, William Jose, is on the bench, but no sign of him yet. Of course, maybe we'll see him later as the game warms up. And as I say that, Edouard Mendy in the Chelsea goal just gets his hands on the ball as it trundles back to him. It's Chelsea 0, Wolves 0.
Thanks so much, Ian. There is another game on that kicked off at 6 p.m. Burnley and Aston Villa. There's 11 minutes gone there, and it is nil all. Now, Lisa Fallon, Galway United boss, joins us now. And of course, former Chelsea women's coach. Lisa, I guess there's a lot of pressure now on Thomas Tuchel to try and come in and transform Chelsea, really. He's only in there since last night, and that first team tonight for that Wolves game. Is it possible to work some magic in such a short space of time, do you think?
Yeah, well, I think that's the job he's been brought in to do. I think, you know, the change was made because they obviously felt that they needed to get back up the table. And, you know, I think, I mean, the Premier League this season, it's just so competitive. It's probably the most competitive it's been in years, and I mean, it's really exciting to watch. And you know, you look at the top 10, it's just going to change completely again tonight. And the big focus really is those Champions League spots. So he has to come in and make an impact and get Chelsea, who go into tonight's game in 10th place, and they've played two games more than Villa, who are ahead of them in 9th place, and they've got to get the points on the board and get up towards those Champions League places. So that's obviously his remit, and his team selection probably suggests that that's what he's looking to do.
Few raised eyebrows now for that team selection. I think, I suppose, when you think of Frank Lampard and his interest in developing young players and bringing players through, and I suppose when it comes to Tuchel, as you said, he's there to do a job, so he doesn't really bother him what Chelsea's probably going to look like in 5 or 10 years. He needs to get out there and do it now. And Mason Mount is one that people were definitely disappointed not to see start.
Yeah, and I think, look, he's probably started the last 10 games and he was, of course, captain at the weekend. So, I mean, that's a big change, and it's probably the most striking one. Obviously, there's no Billy Gilmore on the bench, and he's a player that would have, you know, there'd be really big expectations and, you know, hopes for his future too. Very technical, really, really good player. So, look, but like, that's what the Tuchel was brought in to make change, and that's what he's done tonight. So, you know, he's probably going to be under pressure to get the results. That's probably the remit he has. But like, you expect that with any manager that goes in. If any manager in any club is brought in, a new manager, it's to implement change or to change something. So that's what I would expect that his remit is, and it'll be really interesting to see how he does, because he had one training session with them, I think, last night, and, you know, difficult in one training session to get your ideas across. But, you know, over time, he'll have more time to implement his philosophy. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, they're dominating the game at the moment, and Wolves are just quite happy to sit in their own half. So it's up to Chelsea really to have that moment of creativity and try and break them down.
Lisa, we're quick to move on, but when you look at, you know, obviously we always look ahead and Tuchel in now to drive it on. But for Frank Lampard there, do you think he was nearly used a bit to win back the fans, you know, to get him to this point, you know, where everything's in place and then someone else, you know, comes in? Is it a bit harsh on him?
Gosh, I don't think so. I mean, look, it's a harsh business. It's a harsh industry. And, you know, anyone who knows Frank Lampard's playing career at Chelsea will know the legend that he's held in at the club. And I think, you know, to be fair, all the statements from the club really recognise that and acknowledge that. And, you know, Frank is, you know, in terms of a manager and a head coach, he's a young head coach in terms of his career. And, you know, it'll be a massive experience for him, and I'm sure he'll take loads away from it, and it'll, you know, all the experience that he's gleaned will really stand to him in his next role, which I'm certain there will be, because I think Frank Lampard will go on to be an incredible head coach, and, you know, and he's had some massive successes, and, you know, that's one chapter of his head coach career, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty more.
Lisa, you don't sound too surprised by Frank Lampard getting sacked.
God, like, that's the industry now, isn't it? I think, you know, it's the nature of the industry. You know, there's very few managers that get really any sort of longevity. You know, look, it's down to each club. Like, you can't speak for every club. Like, you look at, say, Manchester United. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was under so much pressure 6 months ago, and look at where he has them now. They win tonight and they go back to top, and they beat Liverpool at the weekend. And it's such, you know, a couple of results can really change your next 6 weeks in football, and that's just the nature of the business.
Aston Villa have taken the lead against Burnley. Ollie Watkins on 14 minutes. And, you know, you're talking about loyalty and people under pressure. And I think when you look at Arsenal last night and their performance and just the fact that they seem to be back on track anyway. I mean, we're not talking about them now as relegation contenders like we were at the start of the season, just winning 5 out of 6 in the Premier League. Arteta seems to have things back on track, Lisa.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that game last night. I thought it was a really, really good game against a Southampton side that has been in really good form, you know. And, you know, obviously they've dropped off a little compared to where they were. But, I mean, it's like, if you look at every team in the top, really in the top, say, 13, 14, 15 in the table at the moment, all of them have had really good spells. And then almost all of them have gone through a rocky spell where results, they've had a 5 or 6 game period where things just weren't going their way. And it seems to be cyclical at the moment, that, and Liverpool are probably in that moment at the moment, and Arsenal have certainly had it, but it's so tight. You know, you string together 2 to 3 wins and it completely changes the complexion and it completely changes where you are in the table. And if anything, actually, it's probably a little bit more like the Championship this year, because the Championship is normally this tight. And, you know, you would not, in the Premier League, you'd normally have your top 4 or 5 or 6 and they would generally tend to stretch away. But it's much more, you know, there's lots more teams in contention this year. And, you know, with the current situation as well, I think, you know, any team can really take points off any team at the moment, and that's probably why it's so exciting, and you just can't take your foot off the pedal, because if you're not on it for any one game, then, you know, you're going to drop points and they're going to cost you the way the league is looking at the moment.
Lisa, timing your run is important as well, and Man City certainly did that last night, not only going top of the league, but a 5-0 hammering of West Brom.
Oh, Man City, I mean, I've watched their last few games and they're so good to watch. And, you know, I think, you know, they're fluid in terms of the goals they scored. They were without Kevin De Bruyne last night as well, and it just didn't, to lose a player. Like, I mean, you talk about the players. I know Mourinho was talking today about, you know, last season and the impact of losing Harry Kane. That he's irreplaceable for Tottenham. Losing Virgil van Dijk is irreplaceable for Liverpool. And you look at a player like Kevin De Bruyne, and losing a player of his ilk and the influence that he has in the games, and it didn't ruffle a feather for Manchester City last night. Now, to be fair to that, West Brom have their own problems too. You know, I think Sam Allardyce now has gone in there and he's really got to try and shore things up at the back. You know, they're leaking goals left, right and centre, and you know, that's West Brom are in a different space at the moment as well, and they, you know, they're so open at the back, and, you know, like, but I do think that, you know, looking at the way things are at the moment, Man City are probably the form team, and, you know, they're going to be the ones to catch, really, I think.
There are 3 other games this evening as well. Brighton and Fulham, Everton and Leicester, and Man United and Sheffield United. And when you look at the bottom facing off, it does put Solskjaer under a bit of a selection dilemma. You know, he's going well now, but should he rotate his side, do you think?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, I mean, when the games are coming like this, do you rotate and give players a breather? But the one thing I know from... When a team has that bit of momentum, which Manchester United have at the moment, players just want to play. They just want to keep playing. And then you also have that thing where you don't really want to break that momentum. But look, he can rotate if he wants to tonight. And look, Sheffield United are rooted down to the bottom. And it is, I suppose, an opportunity for him to do that. And you do have to try and keep your players fresh. As much as they just want to play, you do have to try and keep them fresh, because, as Donica was saying earlier, you know, you kind of have to peak at the right time as well, and when you're on that run, to keep it going as long as possible and keeping players fresh and having your best players available for the toughest games is crucial. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit of rotation tonight from Solskjaer. I think he can afford to do it. And he did it, to be fair, he did it at the weekend against Liverpool, you know, in the FA Cup. So he's not afraid to do it, but it also shows the quality and the depth that United have in that squad at the moment, that they're able to, you know, make those rotations. But again, it's that momentum. Everyone wants to play and everyone wants to be playing in the big games. And you know, when your team is in that kind of a run, it's much easier to manage your players than when things are not going so well.
Okay, well, stay with us, Lisa, because we are just going to cross over to Ian Beach at Stamford Bridge for a quick update. Ian.
Yeah, it's still 0-0 between Chelsea and Wolves. We've played 22 minutes now, and it's more of the same as what I was telling you about 10 minutes ago, because it's all Chelsea in control of the ball. There's no pressing when Chelsea have it from Wolves, certainly not in their own half. They are sitting back and inviting Chelsea to come forward, and they are taking that invitation, but we haven't really had a shot on goal yet. The closest we came, a great piece of acceleration from Kai Havertz right through the middle of the defence, and a tame shot in the end, but brilliant to see him pick up the ball from a mistake in midfield and then go surging into the penalty area. It's Chelsea 0, Wolves 0.
Thank you, Ian. We are now going to cross over to Darren Stanage at Old Trafford, and you might have a bit an opinion for us, Darren. We were just talking to Lisa Fallon there about whether or not Ole Gunnar Solskjaer should rotate his squad for tonight's game.
I think he's been quite clever, actually, with his rotations. He's not named the same side that often. Obviously, there was a cup game. Donny van der Beek got some minutes against Liverpool. I think we can expect Bruno Fernandes to probably come back in to the side tonight. He's obviously talked a bit, hasn't he, about not wanting to rest at all. You know, he says, you know, I'm at the age where I don't need to be resting. Play me every week. Is that sort of thing? But I think Solskjaer's... Maybe he promised Van der Beek the cup games. Who knows? I think it's tricky for him to kind of keep everybody happy. But as long as Manchester United keep winning, he'll avoid the criticism. I think if Liverpool had beaten Manchester United at the weekend and Fernandes had come on and not had an impact, you know, there would have been some criticism there. But obviously they got through. In fact, you know, he made a couple of changes. Fred came on as well, of course. He's been left out. He's been rested as well. He came on, shored up the midfield a little bit against Liverpool. Fernandes obviously comes on and scores the winner. So I think he's enjoying being able to rotate the squad. He kind of made about four changes, I think, for the Liverpool game. And obviously he brought his new goalkeeper in. He's, you know, he's been able to change goalkeepers. You would expect De Gea to be back in tonight, although because it's Sheffield United, Henderson might play. I think it's getting very hard to predict Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's teams with any degree of certainty, and I think that must keep the opposition managers guessing as well.
Okay, well, we will check in with you a little bit later. Thanks so much to Darren Stanage. Lisa, when a manager is changing his team quite regularly and it's difficult for opposition teams to predict what they're going to play, like that's a fair enough point. But is it difficult then to get your team to do what you want them to do all the time when they're not playing together as regularly as other teams?
Not really, I think, because once you have your, you know, the way you want to play, I mean, first and foremost, you're always going to focus on how you want to play. And then you're going to make those little adaptations based on the opposition team that you're going to play. So the opposition team is not really going to dictate everything that you do. What you're going to do really will dictate that. And then, like I say, you just make those little adjustments. But, you know, I think with Solskjaer, he's, the difference with him now is he's been there a while and he's been able to, he's had time to, you know, United know how they play now. If they play with a 4-4-2 and it's a diamond, they know how they play. If it's a 4-2-3-1, they know how they play. If it's three at the back, so he's had time to embed that. So when you have that kind of diversity in the team in terms of when you play a certain system and why, then players just need to know their roles within that. And, you know, that's what your lead up to the game is. And you know, I thought it was really interesting last week when he talked about you know, different players actually knowing their roles specifically for a certain game. And I thought that was a little bit of a hint that he's picking his players based on certain aspects of what the opposition will do. And then you have to bear in mind as well, I think they've got Arsenal at the weekend. So, you know, that's a big game as well. So he's... from an opposition point of view, it's more difficult if you can't predict what the other team is going to do, I suppose. But again, it's not the be-all and end-all, because really you're going to be focusing on yourselves.
Lisa, you mentioned how competitive the whole league is, and another brilliant game tonight, Everton taking on Leicester. How do you see that going?
Yeah, I think it's another fascinating one. I actually, just based on current form, I kind of fancy Leicester City. I think they're in a really good space at the moment, and Brendan Rodgers seems to have their confidence high. And I remember back when they won the league, I think it was 2016, you know, everyone kept saying, oh yeah, well, Leicester are there, but they'll drop away. Leicester are there, but they'll drop away. But there was an internal mentality within them where they really had this belief that they could go and keep going. And like, they're still there, and they're going, and they're taking points. They're winning big games. And, you know, I just feel on the basis with Brendan Rodgers being there a little bit longer, I think Leicester are a little bit more settled. And that's why I think Leicester might win that one tonight.
Okay, well, Lisa Fallon, thanks so much for joining us as always. So there's 25 minutes gone in the Aston Villa-Burnley game, and Aston Villa currently leading 1-0 while it's scoreless between Chelsea and Wolves.
Game on 2FM with Green Fern. Fuel your day the hell. healthy way with Green Farm On The Go Chicken Bites. 100% natural and packed with protein.
Game on 2FM.
Okay, now it is time to turn our attention to the women's AFL, and I'm delighted to say that Lauren McGee, Dublin star and now Melbourne FC star, joins us on the line. Lauren, first and foremost, how is life down in Australia?
I'm not going to lie, it's great. I kind of feel a bit guilty over here. I'm watching kind of friends and family back home, because it's like we got out of quarantine in Brisbane and there was no masks indoors or anything, so we were kind of a bit like, are you sure we're allowed to come in without masks? They're like, yeah, no worries. So no, it's been great so far. Already burnt, looking like a drumstick, but enjoying it.
So tell us about the quarantine, because I think everybody is fascinated by the fact that people would have to spend a couple of weeks in a hotel room. I think probably the Australian Open Tennis has shone a light on it, because we've seen so many videos of athletes and players just trying to stay fit. What was it like for you?
Yeah, no, it was mad. I think having the two girls, like, we were in separate rooms, but having them there, like, obviously we were on the same time zone, and kind of having, we were just kind of like, we're going to have to just do stuff to keep busy. So, like, we got a bike delivered and we got a kettlebell and stuff. But then, like, our S&C coach with Melbourne was on to us, giving us programs. So I think, like, we were actually doing more than we should have, but because we were actually, like, just bored. And between that and then it was, like, just trying to fill the day with, like, I had this paint-by-number thing, literally, and then, like, it was podcasts and reading books and stuff like that. That was the only thing that kind of filled the days. I'm waiting for your Uber Eats.
So Sinead Goldrick and Niamh McAvoy are down there with you as well. So you were in separate rooms. Were you, like, talking through the walls, or could you actually, were you in a bubble?
Oh, no, we weren't. Like, they were on different floors. Like, I was on, say, floor 6, they were on 9 and 10, but, like, there's police, like, monitoring the whole hotel. So, like, Macca got knocked out of her room trying to get her first, like, meal. They can get 3 meals a day from the hotel. And she kind of was, like, standing outside, got locked out. You don't have a key. And she was like, oh, I can't move because they're going to think I'm trying to get out. So she had to, like, knock on her neighbor's door, like, stand really far away and go, can you just ring reception and just let them know that I got locked out? So the police came up and she thought she was in trouble, but she, no, it was grand. So it was quite strict.
First day in and locked up again.
Yeah, literally.
But Lauren, what about I know you can do a little bit, not as much as you'd like, with bikes and dumbbells in your room, and I've seen you all doing little training videos, but ball skills, especially, you know, with a new sport, how have you found that?
Yeah, no, I felt it difficult coming over anyway, because I already had lost, like, this a few months pre-season that other Irish players in previous years would have had to kind of master the skills. And so I was already nervous about that. But before I had gone, I did, like, a few sessions back home with an AFLW Irish coach. So I was happy with that. But then in the room, it was a bit difficult. But our manager, Mick, with Melbourne, was great. He was on FaceTime twice a week, and he gave us, like, really, really creative skill sessions. We got balls to the room, so I was kind of trying to keep it to, like, not breaking anything. And we were able to pull up our mattresses and stuff and kick off that. Like, there was a few knocks on the door. I think the girl got in trouble once by people in the security and stuff. But, like, even if it was a handball, which was fine to do, and then, like, if we were trying to kick harder, he was just like, get a pair of socks. So we were just to get used to the kicking mechanism with AFL, and, like, they swing, like, well, compared to, like, the way I kick a ball, Lingaelic, like, they swing their leg way far back. So he's like, you need to get your legs ready. But to be honest, like, the 2 weeks in there, like, bodies are really sore this week. And, like, they know that. Like, it's very tough. Like, just jump. Like, we jumped into a session on Sunday and it was their hottest day of the year. And it was, like, 35 to 6 degrees heat. I don't even know how I got through it, to be honest.
That's amazing, because you are so pale. Like, you are. You're a pale Irish, Irish girl heading over there. But
definition.
Yeah, you are
an Irish-looking girl. Yeah,
exactly. Just so, when you got out, like, what was it like to actually get out? What did you do? Where did you go? What did it feel like after being in a room for 2 weeks?
It actually, it's weird because we've only been in Melbourne since Friday, and it honestly feels like I've been here way longer because I don't know, the 2 weeks in isolation, like, it just made it feel like we've been here months. But we literally, we got out early before our flight to Melbourne, and we just, like, literally went for a walk. Like, it was like, this is great, we can go for a walk, we can get a coffee, like, stuff like that. And that was kind of the main thing. And then when we got here, when we got to Melbourne, we just, like, got into the house and then just explored the area. And it was literally just having the freedom to do something, to do stuff was actually so strange. Like, it actually was, like, alien, like...
Yeah, just on that, like, obviously you have Niamh and Sinead, and obviously you're a tight little group, but mixing with your new teammates now, how have you found that?
Yeah, really good. To be fair, the girls have been on to me, like, since, like, last year, like, they've been, like, keeping up to date, and I text them and stuff like that. So it actually, like, it was, I was expecting a few texts, but they were really friendly. They were already, like, on to me a good few times, and then we actually met up on Saturday. So our training was changed to the Sunday, so we were able to meet up with a few of them on Saturday, which I think helped me a good bit because I was able to have a good proper chat with, like, four of them before training. And then I think, like, training on Sunday was quite overwhelming because obviously you're trying to put names to faces, and then obviously there's the management and backroom staff and everyone else, so it was overwhelming. But it was great. Like, and I think obviously having the two girls, like Sinead and Macker, like, that obviously helped because they were, like, bringing me around, showing me where
showing you off
stuff. So, like,
yeah, our new buddy.
Basically, yeah. The Melbourne girls are great.
I found that hard. You learn everyone's name, but everyone goes as nicknames, so you nearly have to learn it twice.
Yeah. No, that's what the girls said last year. They said everyone was introducing themselves. I think, like, they kind of had a bit more like face-to-face introductions, whereas, like, with Zoom and everything, I've kind of had the chance to learn everyone's nicknames rather than, so, like, the girls have obviously been calling all the girls their nicknames, so I actually don't know some of their first names, because I'm like, what's your first name again? So it's actually better for me, because when they actually are calling stuff in training and, like, match life, like, situations, I'm actually like, oh yeah, no, I do know who that is. But it's when I have to call her first name, I might be struggling.
So how are you finding the game itself, and where are you going to be playing, do you think?
On Sunday, I was actually thrown in the deep end on a few skills, and they were like, right, you're on the second team. I was like, oh, okay. where do I stand? And they were, like, doing the rough, like, the throw-in. And I was kind of like, they're like, don't go, you have to stay outside a circle. Like, this is, I was like, oh my God, this is bizarre. Like, I was like really confused. And I was only kind of the third and fourth quarter that I kind of got into it. And, like, I was just kind of, because obviously their pitch is obviously a lot bigger, the oval, and they all shift. Like, you know, like, sometimes in Gaelic, like, you keep your position. Do you know what I mean? Like, you keep your width on one side, whereas, like, if you're even not with the ball and you're, you see the ball shifting to the left, they all seem to just move. So I was just standing in the middle. They're like, no, you need to move. I was like, oh, okay. But no, it was confusing. But as I said, like, by the end of it, I was kind of like, okay, I'm copping onto things. But yeah, I think I'll be around the centre, so midfield area, similar like, kind of role. I'd say more a defensive like, part to play, but just obviously hopefully by the end, like, after a few, like, weeks, and hopefully get a few games in.
Lauren, before your move was announced, actually, in the last year or so, when looking at the current crop of Gaelic footballers playing at the moment, your type of game and the type of player that you are, you were always someone who people expected to go, just because of the nature of the way you play, and the expectation is that you'd fit into that type of game.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think I'm well known for being a bit rougher. I think
I was being polite there now, but you took the words out of my mouth.
I knew where you were going with that one, so I'll say it. I don't mind. Definitely. I've definitely strength is a big thing that, like, I use in my game, and obviously you're allowed to use it a lot more over here. Like, I got, like as I said, I came into the game a bit more on Sunday, and I got my first tackle in, and it's free. I was like, it's my free. Well, this is great. I couldn't believe that. I usually get simmed in for this type of stuff. But definitely, it's obviously it's a great aspect that I can bring to the game and hopefully like contribute a lot to the team. So yeah, no, it's really exciting. Like, it's obviously different. You obviously have to protect yourself in different ways so you're not hurting your head, or you're not like, obviously you're allowed to tackle too, like from shoulder to knee, but obviously it has to be a certain way. Like, you can't, it can't be too rough. So it's learning the kind of balance of it as well. But no, it's really exciting.
And we saw, I think everybody saw Breed Stack and her injury, and there was a huge amount of concern, and thankfully she's on the mend, and we've seen pictures of her, and she looks to be doing well. But there must have been a huge worry just amongst ye as a group of Irish players who have travelled over there to do what Breed is doing.
Yeah, no, definitely. And obviously it's her first year, it's my first year seeing her, like, and she's like moving her whole family over as well. Like, it's such a big commitment for her, and like to have like such a, like, thankfully not such a bad injury. Like, obviously it's still really serious, but like luckily that it wasn't any worse. But yeah, no, it is worrying. Like, all these the injuries are like, they're mad injuries over here, and like I feel like ACL, touch wood, like, is a big one over here. And you know, that kind of way, there was like, I think there was 5 in Melbourne's team alone last year. So like, you're just, those kind of things, you're like, oh my god, imagine coming all the way out here. But it's just the risk of the game. It's the same, okay? Like, you play the game, and if stuff happens, it happens. But you just have to do what, like, your best, and hopefully come out the better. But it's really unlucky. It's just the way it all happened with Bree. Like, it was so unlucky. And Macker's been on to her a good bit, so, and she's been doing well. So hopefully she can still enjoy the experience out here.
Just on that, I know you've been in contact and keeping close, but with so many of you out there now, is there a kind of, you know, not so much a playing group, but a support network that, you know, obviously for injuries, but even for advice on different things that you can touch into the Irish girls already out there?
Yeah, no, definitely. The girls have been great, like, prior to even coming out. Like, I had talked to Ashton Mack, like, before, and then I would have played with Niamh Kelly in college, and I've been on to her. But even, like, when they were on to us about, like, where are you quarantining? Like, if you're quarantining in Perth, like, we'll drop you down stuff, we'll give you, like, you know what I mean, drop off little goodies, like, stuff like that. Like, we didn't end up quarantining there, but they are great, and, like, they've been, anytime I've had a question, they've been so good to help or answer. So, yeah, no, they've, it actually is, and, like, I've been on to, like, Orla Dwyer, everyone, like there's a, it is, it, you do end up connecting. Like, the girls last year were the same. Like, they were, like, connected with most of them when they were over here, and there was opportunity, say, playing the girls, and, like, if they came to Melbourne, or, do you know what I mean, they did meet up. So, no, it is a great connection between everyone, so it's good.
And, Lauren, how are you finding the homesickness?
I'm actually not too bad at the moment. I feel like the 2 weeks in quarantine, I just felt like I was in my room. So I feel like I was like, you know, the kind of way, it didn't feel like I was away, even though I was looking at Brisbane, so beautiful at night, like, you know, all the lights on the river, like, and I was like, oh my god, this is, imagine being in Brisbane for 2 weeks and that's all you've seen. I think Brisbane's 10 hours ahead of Ireland, so even that hour difference was great. And like, I was just FaceTiming, obviously I had loads of time then, so I had I was just FaceTiming family and friends the whole time, and so I actually it hasn't hit me yet. I think it'll be next while, I think it is hitting a bit more now, but I should be fine. I think having the girls here, I think if I had to come over on my own, do you know what I mean, and set up, it'd be a lot different. But having the girls here is definitely helping with that situation.
Does it help as well that you go with the support of the Dublin crew? You know, you hear Mick Bone wishing you all the best, and, you know, embracing the life experience that this opportunity has given you.
Yeah, no, Mick's been great, and like, it is, like, when you do decide to take on an opportunity like this, it is something that's always in the back of your mind, like, what will, like, your manager think, and obviously our Dublin manager. And no, he was really supportive, and he's like obviously he wants people to play for Dublin as long as they can, but he's like, people still have to like take opportunities where they come and do other things in their life. And like, he has, like, he supported the girls, and obviously I've seen that as well, so I wasn't as nervous saying to him. But no, he's been really supportive, and he's just a great coach, and like, that's, I think you need that in like those setups, because like, I feel like if you're a coach and you're finding like like be a negative and this, and like people are still going to do it. It just makes the whole situation that bit harder. Like, do you know what I mean? If we're still going to hopefully come back, like the players are hopefully still going to come back and play for their county. Like, if a coach isn't supportive and they can't work with, like, they like miss working with Melbourne, like while we're away and he's at home, like, just makes it that bit harder trying to miss that game to the setup when he comes home.
He's going to be able to keep an eye on you as well by watching TG Cahir, which is absolutely fantastic that you're able to, that they're broadcasting the games, because I think it, with such a big Irish interest, it just really keeps us connected to you guys over there and to the sport and what you're doing.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant because obviously like families would like have links and get links for the game and stuff like that, but the fact that everyone can watch, because not everyone, like everyone will be supportive of you, but not everyone's going to tune in. They like, it's the hassle of trying to find the games as well. But then, like, people will hopefully start to learn the rules. Because I think, like, when I'm still watching them and being like, why is that? Why is your man throwing that over his shoulder from the sideline? Like, why? Like, where is this coming from? Do you know, stuff like that. So at least then, like, everyone can keep up to date with it. And it's great. TG Cahir are great anyway for promoting all ladies' sports, but it's a big move. I remember my uncle said it to me. I was like, hardly. And he's like, no, I think it's true. And then he sent me on the link and I was like, this is deadly. So, no, it's great. And, like, everyone, like, all my friends and family have been like, this is so, so handy. Like, then we're going to be able to watch all the games. So, no, it's brilliant.
I have to say, I cannot wait to be sitting there in cold January and February, Sunday evenings, watching you living your best lives in the sunshine in Australia. Lauren, thanks so much for taking our call. We really are looking forward to following you over the next few months, and we wish you and, of course, Sinead and Niamh as well, and all the girls over there, the best of luck in the season.
Thanks so much.
Game on 2FM with Green Fern. Snack smart with Green Fern's new high-protein snacking range, available in selected Tesco, Super Value and convenience stores nationwide.
Game on 2FM.
Welcome back. It is heading for half-time at the two early kickoffs. Aston Villa still leading Burnley 1-0 and still scoreless between Chelsea and Wolves. Now, ahead of the draw for the UEFA European Under-21 qualifiers, which are taking place tomorrow, we are joined by the Republic of Ireland Under-21 boss, Jim Crawford. Jim, how are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me on, Ray.
No worries. Thanks for taking our call. Look, tomorrow is an exciting day. We've been doom and gloom for a while, but just to have something, to have a qualifier, to know who you're going to be playing, to be able to start really planning for opposition and games and fixtures, that must be exciting.
It's very exciting, but I have to say a lot of work has gone into it, because unlike the senior team, with the under-21s, you get an opportunity to negotiate your fixtures. So with every country that's in the draw tomorrow, we found out how long travel times will be to each country, what are the temperatures like in each of these countries for each of the international windows, because you don't want to be going to certain countries where the conditions wouldn't suit us, you know. And we've also researched, like, how many players are still eligible to play in the under-21s this year that played last year, and how many under-21s have senior caps with all these countries. So there's been a lot of work that's gone into it, and when the draw is made, then it's up to us to negotiate with the various countries when and where we're going to play them throughout the 2 years.
You need a lot of spreadsheets for that, by the detail that goes into it.
Yeah, and we're ready to go.
Yeah, just from a logistical point of view then, just in terms of your players and when you do end up getting your squad together and that, like, are you going to have much access to them? Because obviously it's such a strange time we're in right now.
Yeah, look, we're fortunate enough that, you know, with the 21s and obviously the senior team, you know, we can continue playing our games. So as long as we adhere to the COVID protocols, we'd be fine. And getting players, like, we've already been in this situation where we've travelled to Italy, we've travelled to Luxembourg, and, you know, we've been fine with regards the whole COVID situation. And look, you know, we had to get a chartered flight to help protect the players when we've gone away. So I don't see it being an issue at all, and as long as we're quite stringent with regards the various protocols, we'll be okay.
Jim, just for yourself personally, I know you've been in that role, but now driving the bus really and taking it on, how have you found the transition?
I found it, you know, smoother than what I first anticipated, you know, and I think a big sort of asset that I have is the quality staff with Alan Reynolds, John O'Shea, Fred, Rene Gilmer will be our goalkeeping coach who works with Bristol City, and Martin Doyle will be our analyst. So we've all worked hard, extremely hard together, and they've made the transition very smooth. And look, you know what the differences are from being an assistant to a head coach. You've got to make those hard decisions, and they're never going to be easy, but, you know, one of the values I'd have is just being upfront and honest with players, and I think that's what players want, you know. So when you're making those difficult decisions, they'll understand that it's for the betterment of the team, you know. So it's been smooth enough so far.
And Jim, it probably helps as well, just the CV that you've had, both as a player and as a manager already, that, you know, you can relate to a lot of the players that you're dealing with, that you've been there, you've done that, you know, you've represented your country, you've gone away. And, you know, when you're dealing with these young players, I'd say those relationships and being able to be at their level and understand them probably really helps.
Yeah, it really helps. Probably the most beneficial thing for myself would have been, you know, I was about 8 years working in the FEI's Emerging Talent Programme, where I came across the likes of Jason Knight, Nathan Collins, Connor Mathis and Dar O'Shea. So, you know, I've worked with them at a very young age, and when I got to sort of work with them again, first of all at under 18s level when I was the head coach there, now it's under 21s, it probably adds to what we were talking about earlier on, the whole sort of transition from an assistant to a head coach, where I've worked with them before and we both understand each other, and it's definitely the experience with regards to emerging talent has been a huge help.
Jim, it's such an important part for a player's development, isn't it? That under 20s level, it's where you kind of confirm if you're able for the next step, really.
Yeah, well, you know, when I first went in with Stephen Kenny with the 21s, you know, we pulled together the group of players, and out of the group of players that we had, that we went on to a Toulon tournament where we finished fourth, I think only roughly around 7 players were playing first team football. So that would have been 5 players that were playing in the League of Ireland, mainly with UCD, and we 2 players playing in the UK. Dar O'Shea was on loan to Exeter, and I think Jack Taylor was playing at Barnet. So throughout the whole campaign, we've seen these players develop and grow, and now we had 9 players from the very start of that campaign who have jumped up to the senior team, which is remarkable. I don't think there's any other country in the world that's ever had that, where 9 players from the 21s level have made that jump. So yeah, it is important with regards to their development, but it's, you know, the confidence they got playing against Brazil, China, Italy and Sweden really stood to them, and the players, you know, they performed unbelievably against those countries, which, you know, helped their confidence and their character. And it's really proud for myself, Stephen and the rest of the staff that were involved in the players to see them making that jump and playing regularly with their clubs in the UK.
And just in terms of the squad you have to pick from, I'm not going to name them all because there are quite a lot of eligible players and such big names now, you know, household names, ones that we've been talking about for quite some time, and I suppose one that does stick out and has been hitting the headlines for all the right reasons over the last while is Jason Knight. You mentioned him a little bit earlier, but he does seem like a really special type of player.
He's a fantastic player, but probably most importantly, he's a great person, you know, and I've said it time and time again, like even at a young age when he was playing with Cavan Teely, he was, you know, would come to the Emerging Talent Centre, work exceptionally hard every Monday evening, and he did show a remarkable talented player that he was back then, that he's turned into now. And then when he came into the other under-18s, he's never been a problem. He's always remained grounded. Now he's the captain of Derby County, which is, you know, he's had a remarkable journey so far, and he still has a fair bit to go with regards reaching the ceiling of his ability, you know. So he's still a player with potential, so we can't forget that either, you know. He can still play with the 21s for this up and coming campaign, but I doubt if we'll see him again, you know. I think he's certainly a senior international player the way he's performing at his club.
And Jim, just over the last little while, there has been a lot of focus on the Republic of Ireland senior team, and probably for the wrong reasons, really. They haven't been playing, and there have been some departures, including Damien Duff, which was obviously a big one, and a bit of a blow for Stephen Kenny. Just in terms of how people are feeling out at the FAI with all of this going on, is it difficult at the moment?
Yeah, it's a challenge, but Stephen has been working in, you know, unprecedented circumstances, and he's had terrible luck with regard to COVID cases. But look, he's a new campaign in March, and I'm sure he'll be fired up to qualify for the World Cup. He's got a couple of replacements to make in his staff, but, you know, I've seen and worked with Stephen fairly closely, and I know how articulate he is, and he'd be like that when he's getting his staff together. So he'll be prepared for March, and I've no doubt he'll get the right results and get us performing to a very high level in this up and coming campaign.
Well, I think everybody would really like to see that, and certainly we would definitely wish yourselves the best of luck, Jim Crawford, as well. Thanks so much for taking our call. We really appreciate it. That's all we have time for, Donegal.
Very good. Carol Mullins up next. A massive thank you to Andrew and Laura Lee. We're back tomorrow at 6.
Protein on the go range, available in selected Tesco, Super Value and convenience stores nationwide.